can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, now, just before we start, Donald, well, mind you, we have started, but this is the first thing, just in case you are nostalgic or if you break that thing, that is a, don't break that, put it down. That's the thing you hold the phone on, what's it called?
Selfie stick.
And if you keep manhandling it, it won't be a selfie stick, it'll just be a stick. So 25 years ago, yesterday as it turns out, but we weren't on yesterday, have a guess what happened 25 years ago. I know that'd be pretty hard for you.
No, I don't know. Tell me.
Well, the great Ted Whitten, he passed away 25 years ago with prostate cancer. And apt that we speak about it because we've both had our prostates out because we acted when we found out we were in trouble with it, which Ted didn't do, unfortunately. And that led us on to that very, very... interesting discussion people found about getting a syringe.
You can get implants too.
Getting a syringe and putting it into your snag, and people thought, oh, gee, they found that hard.
Actually, we should do a segment on that. Did you know that you can get an implant?
Let's film it.
No, an implant.
We're not going to do a segment on...
you can pump it. You can pump it up.
I know you said that. Don,
I say that last week?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So
anyway,
we're not going to go on with that because people found that disconcerting.
Can
that
I
you
ask
put a needle
something?
Into your dick.
So yes. You shut up. Now, the word around the peninsula is
peninsula.
That you shot a 74 at the National, the old course,
yes,
a week or two ago. Is that true or false?
Yeah, well done. It was in the paper.
Oh,
Don.
Was it?
Yeah. No, it was true. It was in the paper.
Well, I don't. I don't read the paper, but I, the
that's
word.
That's patently
the word,
obvious.
The words are. So Donald Bradman, he did the same?
Donald Bradman, it's called breaking your age.
I understand it's a very rare feat.
It's quite.
Donald Bradman obviously was a good golfer as
very
well.
Good
and
golfer.
He better also did his age as well on the golf course.
I told a friend of ours that used to
what
be
did
on
you shoot?
I'll shoot you in a minute if you don't listen to what I'm saying. I told a friend of ours, still a friend of ours, it used to be on this podcast. Do you know who we should get on the podcast as an interviewee?
A guest.
Yeah, do you know who we should get on?
No.
Mick Sheehan. We should interview Mick about how life's going since he got off the podcast, how he's going on open mic. I'm doing his advertisements for him on open mic now. Because Fox won't promote his shows because they've got far better things to do, he says. And I do it.
Where do you do it?
I put it on my Instagram and tweeted it that Mick's up. He's interviewing tonight. He's interviewing Luke Ball, and we did a little ad for him and, you know, Magic Mike. So we should get him on and interview him about how life is going after the great warding off of our court case.
That was a conspiracy. Anyway, we won't go down there.
Please. Oh, no, please don't go down there, Don. I did. I broke my age, which I had 74.
That's a great effort.
Well, it is a good effort. Except
what's par for the course, the old National?
72.
72?
Yes.
And you were two over off the
yes.
stick.
Yes. Now, the reason I mentioned Mike Sheehan is that I told Mike, just as an aside, and he told the paper.
Oh.
I didn't ring the paper in case you're thinking, oh, yes. What? Sure.
No, I heard it independent of the paper. I heard it, obviously, anyway.
So, Don, how is...
That's a great effort.
Yeah. How's the lockdown going?
Well, I went ratty on Friday, but I said last week how I
Friday,
bought a few cookbooks.
Friday, I reckon
cookbooks.
You went ratty a long time before
I
that,
cannot understand the cookbooks. Have Don, you ever looked at a cookbook? They're very complicated things. I want a simple recipe. I've discovered malted milks again. You remember the old malted milks we used to make?
Some sort of cookbook, that'd be, if it's telling you how to make malted milk. Put that down, Don. Don't you touch that thing. So I've only ever read two books in my life, Don. One was The Joys of Sex and the other was The Joys of Cooking. I can now cook a chicken in 32 different positions. That's my extent of cooking. Donald, now listen, Don, the lockdown. I see.
Now, hang on. Could I ask you something else? Something else. I was laughing. Your Lord Mayor, the Lord Mayor of Melbourne's coming up again.
Don, could we
the
just,
election?
Could if we could just not confuse the people listening to this, could we just get off one subject first and then we'll bounce on to another? I was just saying the lockdown, if I may, Don. We are now in stage four where you can't venture outside for more than an hour. You can't play any sport at all that might actually be recreational or give you a serious chance of well-being. You can't drive more than 5 kilometres. You can't. Stage four. And yet, this week we had the highest number of deaths from COVID-19 that we've ever had in one day. What is the point of this lockdown? It is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And you know the 25 deaths occurred to people who are between the ages of 75 and 90. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells you maybe there's a problem in the care homes that those people are in.
Or the aged.
Well, yes, but it could also be another problem too.
So why are all the people under 75 or under 70, why are we locked down to within an inch of our life?
What would you prefer it to be open?
I would prefer someone to make some rational decisions and some rational calls on not locking down the entire community when there's no need.
Well, I'm on the other side in this. I think we do lock down because nobody knows about this virus. We're all struggling. No matter where you are in the world, there is not an expert, and I prefer to lock down.
I'm glad you said that. So you prefer to lock down when you said there's no expert in the world who knows about this. So locking down, who says that's a good thing to do?
But who says it's not a good thing to do?
Well,
there's two camps, and I'd prefer to go lockdown.
Okay, well, I'm just
than
telling
leaving
you
this thing run rampant. But listen, Johnny, there's a bigger issue than this, and the root of the cause is the government with regard to its immigration and we as Australians who don't want to work. And where is the virus? It's in the meatworks. Last week it was in the meatworks, a lot of those places are closing down or going back to a third of their production.
In the bogus security company.
And where do those, hang on, and where do those workers come from? Because no Australian wants to work in those type of work, so they get the workers in by visa. I said all this last week. So there's a problem. And they all live communally. They come over here for 6 months and then go back. And it just happens to be there. And also the way people do live in certain areas in Melbourne because of their upbringing, and they still do it overseas. They live communally, or they have three generations in one apartment. And
racism, Donald, you're not getting into.
Oh, well.
Or are you getting into racial profiling?
I'm a little bit gun-shy.
Of course, we're all gun-shy here. Don't worry about that.
Oh, boy.
I've got the solicitor on the standby line. Don, could I just take you up on the fact that you just said, did you not, that you would prefer to err on the side of caution by locking people down just because it's safer. And I've just indicated to you that we've locked people down for the last fortnight and we've had the highest number of deaths ever recorded since the pandemic hit Victoria.
Yes, but there could be other reasons why the deaths are happening.
Of course there are, Donald. So what? Who says locking down? You just said no one around the world has really any idea of what the best way to treat it is. Who said locking down an entire community is the way to go?
Well, they've done it in Western Australia. And
no, they haven't.
They've locked down the state there.
They have not. Well, people can go, for example, I'll get onto my hobby horse, people can go and play golf everywhere
exactly
in Australia
right.
They can except
do horse,
here.
They can do horse shows there and they can also do horse shows in Queensland, two states, Tasmania's relatively, Northern Territory and South Australia. It's Victoria and New South Wales.
So what is the rationale if you can play golf? I'll do this again. If you can play golf all over Australia except in the metropolitan area here in Melbourne, who says that is sensible and logical?
There's a lot of other things beside golf. Come on.
There's a lot of other things, Don. Why can't you go fishing? Why can't you go fishing? Why can't you go out in a boat on your own? Who makes these arbitrary rules in the name of no one knowing what is the best thing to do, and erring on the side of caution is just erring on the side of stupidity? I see the Health Minister, Brett Sutton. Have a listen to this. Could you think of any more excuses as to why people are in charge of things? He says that he thinks his Buddhist training has helped him with the COVID virus 19. I'm nothing wrong with being a Buddhist or being trained by Buddhists. How would Buddhist training help you?
Well, you'd have to ask him.
Well, this is a statement in the paper. My Buddhist training has helped me.
Okay, well, he didn't elaborate on his statement, which is a bit of a problem. So you've just gone and made an assumption and you're querying it.
No, he said that.
I understand, but he didn't elaborate. It may help in some way. I do not know.
How has it helped? I've just told you we've had the highest number of deaths in a day.
He should have elaborated. And maybe he didn't. It wasn't reported.
So you say that we all pay the penalty. So here, this is the people they should be honing in on. The coppers arrested a 16-year-old person whose name was unpronounceable, who was in a stolen car, who the police dog chased and bit, and the paramedics came out to treat this person. This person was found out to have COVID-19, so all the paramedics had to get tested. All the coppers had to, I don't know what happened to the dog. These are the people. It's people who take no notice of any restrictions or lockdowns because they just don't. It's like people who speed on the roads. Everyone else obeys the speed limits except a certain percentage who couldn't give a stuff what the speed limit is, and we all pay the price. For what reason, when no one really knows?
Did you happen to see the film clip of the policeman trying to apprehend a man in a black Range Rover who reversed back, hit a couple of cars and threw? The policeman had the door open,
yep,
trying to get him out.
Is this the same thing?
Well, I don't.
How old was the person?
I don't know, but I just saw this
footage.
Where
was it?
It was in a car park. I don't know where, but I just tuned in. I just did a grab last night. And the policeman was thrown. It was unbelievable how he was thrown out of the car as it reversed back, hit two cars.
Yep.
Now, I stopped and thought. I thought, now, if that was me, I think I'd find it very, very hard to contain myself emotionally and physically if I was all right.
To take the big baton out or shoot him in the legs.
Exactly right. After somebody had done that to you, you've asked him to get out of the car, the policeman, and we're all up in arms about police brutality. And you actually see it, and I thought, wow, you blokes are unbelievable that you restrained yourself. I don't think I could have.
Well done, Don, because they are so gun-shy now about all the activists getting up and saying it's police brutality.
I defy anybody to react in an emotive way.
The United States of America, this is exactly what's happening. They're trying to defund the police because they think they are police brutality, and it is. So that's why the rioting and looting and setting fire to the whole country is going on, because no one's game to stop them in case they get branded. Exactly my point. So have a listen to this.
Hang on. We had a segue going here.
Yes.
But you've just...
Go ahead.
Put it onto a bit of a sideline.
Well, you said the coppers...
No. The segue was you with your 74 off the stick, and then I was going to go on and ask you another question relating to yourself.
Were you?
Yes. Can I ask you the next question?
You can ask me
anything
you
like,
Don.
Off on coronavirus. Now, the Lord Mayor, the elections are coming up. Now, I don't know if you were a candidate last time.
Yes, I was.
You were.
I was.
Are you interested this time in the election or standing? No, I should say standing.
Why do you ask that, Don? Why does that suddenly just come up off the top of your head?
Well, you have mentioned about the homeless off air in Melbourne.
About the homeless? When did I mention that?
Off air.
Off air. I've said, gee, there's a lot of homeless going around.
No, you're concerned, and you said about how they should use the vacant...
Yes, I said if I had any...
warehouses and stuff, you should house
this. Yes, I did.
You'd do something about getting them off the street, and you'd set up a system whereby people wouldn't take advantage of that. And you also talked about the graffiti, which I think is disgraceful, and I think the city could do with a real clean-up.
I had five platforms.
Well, I don't know, but what I'm asking you, you understand...
I had five things I was interested in last time that I actually legitimately stood. One was graffiti, one was the homeless, one was speed limits, one was security, and the other was, can't think of the other one, whatever it was, a bicycle, I'm not sure, city in the traffic. But I was going to stand for the Lord Mayor, but I was overseas at the time. I had to present myself at the town hall in person. I was overseas at the US Masters, the one that
was Patrick, that a conspiracy to get you out of the Lord Mayor's running? Or the
what an extremely interesting question that is, Donald. I thought that myself. The only 2 days that I was not in the city, I've ever been in the city during a football season, was the day I was meant to present myself at the council to confirm that I was going to stand as the Lord Mayor, and I wasn't in the country. That's a very interesting conspiracy theory.
Okay, so, well, you're not going to be anywhere this year.
No.
No, so what are you going to do? Are you going to have are you going to have a crack at it or put yourself up as a candidate?
Well, why have you suddenly asked that?
Well, haven't I given you all the background? We've talked off air about homelessness, graffiti, the state of the city. Now, come on. Are you going to stand? Because I see the Deputy Lord Mayor. I think it's going to be an interesting race.
There's a lot of people involved. I see a person called, is it Jenny Yang? No. Jenny Yang, I think she's going to stand against our very great friend who was on
the podcast. Very nice lady.
Here.
Sally Capp.
Yes, the Capster. She was on here, the Capster, and
I hope you're being respectful.
The Capster.
I think she's a very nice lady.
What do you, I can call you the... What's wrong with calling her the Capster? We call Johnny Depp the Depster. We call her the Capster. It's just a... It's a, what? The rooster? Well, the poopster? You can put stir onto anything. It's a sign of endearment, Don. It's not a sign of disrespect calling the Capster the Capster.
Get back to my question. Answer it.
Well, I don't know where you're getting it.
No, please. It's either I'm going to stand.
That is not an answer to any question. I was asked again, I stand this in, I think it's coming in October. I was asked again, was I going to stand? I was asked, would I stand again? And is that what you're alluding to? That you heard that, did you, or not?
Keep going.
Well, I haven't. That was all I was asked, so I haven't.
Yes or no?
No, it's not a yes or no. What are you doing? What are you doing there? What are you doing
putting
with that sound
on microphone?
Thing? Don't you turn me off. You're turning yourself on. Yeah. Oh, it's all right. If you turn me off, I'll punch you in the head. No,
that's
I haven't
interesting
decided.
Way of turning yourself on
I
by moving those
I haven't,
dials.
I haven't decided, Don. I haven't decided. I probably wouldn't do that again.
Oh, you're not going to stand?
Probably not.
Why not?
I'm not sure why not.
You're doing nothing.
Maybe I could.
You're doing nothing. You could utilise. You're very bored. This is the highlight of your week.
Maybe
the podcast is the highlight of your week.
Highlight. You're the highlight of my week. Could you come on the road as my campaign manager? Don, you could come on and you could woo them. You could...
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, you could warm the crowd up. Now listen, you bastards. I've got my friend coming out here. Come on. What are you looking at? You could get them round up before I came on. You could make me look like a real nice person.
We'd be a top hit at the top end of Melbourne, wouldn't we? We'd be a big hit.
So
you're not going to stand?
I didn't... No. Now, I'm tempted to do the golf thing again because it is all right, or I won't. So illogical why you can't play golf.
No, it's not.
It is absolutely illogical. All right, let's have this conversation.
No.
All right, let's not. All right,
please. No. But just a little bit of add to the coronavirus. I happen to see another grab on the news about the Oakley market, which is a farmer's market. They're permissible. Now, why are the gentlemen allowed to have coffees in the street, the main street of Oakley?
Yep.
I thought you weren't allowed to sit down and have coffees, yet at a farmer's market you are.
Somehow, Don, we're going to wind our way on to speaking about why you can't play golf, because I go out to a park where there were 50 people standing, sitting on the rail around the oval on the park, in groups of 10 and 20 and 800 dogs chasing balls all over the park, and yet I can't play with one other person on a golf course on my own away from them and chase my ball around for 4 hours on a golf course while thousands of
people...
What
are you doing down the park? What are you doing down the park?
I'm allowed out of my house for 1 hour to do exercise.
And what do you do?
Exercise.
Doing what?
Just wandering around, looking at the sky, out in the open air, which is what a golf course is about.
Do you take your golf stick with you?
I take a golf stick with me, yes.
Yes, keep going. Well, why don't you elaborate? It's like extracting teeth, getting out. What you do.
I didn't realise.
Do you do exercises when you go out?
Yes.
Or do you go for a run?
I take a golf stick, which keeps you, you swing it.
And what do you do with the golf stick?
Well, you swing it to just make you supple and just exercise.
You practice your putting on the cricket pitch?
Well, you can do that if you wish.
Do you?
I sometimes.
Good.
You're trying to get me to say that I play golf when I go down to the park. I don't do that at all. But if a dog can chase a ball, I can putt a ball on the oval and go and get it myself. There's no difference. Except it's far better for me to do it than a dog doing it. Isn't it? Which is the whole nonsensical point about why you can't play golf. Now, Don... We had a discussion. I'll tell you who's a friend of ours, believe it or not. Well, not believe it or not. Well, we might disagree on a hell of a lot of things. Mark Robinson. He's the chief football writer in town.
Yes, we've interviewed
You
Mark.
Would say he's the chief football writer in the two papers, wouldn't you? Age and
No. Is it just the chief writer for the
But
Herald
he
Sun?
Is the most credible one of all the people
Why?
That write on football.
Well, I think. Well,
keep going.
We're not going to.
Who's credible on the other side? You know, people who write vacuous crap about. About op-eds about things.
Come on, get back to your
subject. But if you haven't played the game,
so please
pretty hard
get
to write
back it. On the subject.
Well, he says, I said, wouldn't. I was having a chat to him. I said, you must come on again and recap the season. He said, yes, I'll be happy to do that. I said, surely the grand final should be played in Adelaide because it's halfway between Perth and the East Coast. It's in the middle of the West and the East Coast, and people would travel to it, not from Victoria because we're, we're just like lepers here. But and he said, no. He thinks that Brisbane, who said they'll take in all the sides and billet them up and put them up and the competition, he said we owe them to be playing at the Gabba, the grand final.
I agree wholeheartedly.
It's
a moral obligation, and Queensland have taken it on.
Yes.
And I think they should be rewarded. Football should just move up there because they're the only... I know Western Australia are catering for it, but Queensland have really... they've taken it on.
Well, that's what Mark Robinson says. He says at least they took it on and said all the sides can come up. And so I've changed my opinion due to Mark putting that theory to me. No, don't worry about Adelaide. Take it up to Brisbane, who took the game on and said, come on up and we will accommodate you and billet you. And I see a bloke who has been, I can't think of his name, but he's been cancelled for the season because he asked his girlfriend to come into the hub. Who was that? Come on, who was it?
From South Melbourne, Sydney.
Yeah, who?
Yeah, the young fellow from Sydney in Perth.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, how ridiculous. I mean, well, you've got 700 players, 800 players. Do you think they're all going to toe the line?
Well, that they want them to, but then again, we've had people break. Didn't someone play tennis with some other personality out of the hub or something, and it was all right for them to do that?
No, Nathan flash. Buckley and Brenton Sanderson.
Newsflash.
Yes, newsflash. Here we go. This is podcast Rod.
Don Scott. Another story about you, Donald.
Oh, no.
What? 7 minutes ago. Oh. How Don Scott ripped apart the Hawthorn-Melbourne merger with his famous jumper gesture. You're back in the news, Don.
Why is that on now?
I don't know. It's been posted 7 minutes ago. He's back.
Oh, well, so they're writing things about you. I see someone wrote a thing about, just before we go on, Don, from last week. Remember we were discussing netball and I said, has it got a
and
net?
And I watched it on the weekend, a draw between, who played? Gee, I watched two games and there was a draw.
Do you know?
They don't play extra time
Do you
now.
Know what you are very good at doing, Don? I've noticed this. I say, Just apropos to last week, we spoke about netball. Do you know what I looked at last week? You have tremendous ability, Don, to truncate a question that I'm about to pose that might be interesting by you just jumping in
okay,
and go.
Okay, come on. Sorry, so I apologise.
Someone said, I said, has netball got a net round it? And you said, yes, I watched the netball last week and I can't remember who played in it, but some two other side. I said, yeah, good on you. So someone said, did you ever think to me, you moron, they said, because, you know, I'm not a moron, imbecile or an idiot. I think I was the lowest based IQ level of 0 to 25 moron. They said, did you ever think it was called netball because it actually had a net around the ring? And I was very smart, Don, because I counted and I said, no. I said that doesn't necessarily mean that it should have a net because the NFL in America, the National Football League, is a sport where no one kicks the ball except one person twice a game. How would you call that football? And the Major League Baseball, when they have the World Series, is played just between American sides. How can you have a Major League Baseball World Series when only one country plays it?
So still a good point.
They're full of anomalies. Full of anomalies. And finally, not finally, Don, listen, I just want to make this clear. We keep getting belted by the vole. Do you know what a vole is? Vermin. They're rats and mice. Vole. Saying we do this and we hone in on certain areas because we're making money out of this podcast.
Oh, really?
We make, could I just say this for the record, we get not 1 cent out of what we're doing. We don't have any sponsors. And if people say Bill Ferg sponsored us, Bill Ferg gave us a small amount of money to set up a website so he could run a competition because I'm a friend of Bill's and I said I'd do him a favour, which is what we did. And we were going to take some people who won a competition to the Lobster Cave. Here's giving him some more mileage again. But this bit the dust when the COVID-19 came in. So we make no money out of this at all. We don't have any sponsors and we're not doing it to enrich ourselves. Could I say that? In fact, it costs us money every week. Mm. So could I just say that? What? Is that an Indian greeting?
How does it cost us money?
How?
We don't make money, but how does it cost us?
Well, it costs me time, number one.
Oh, okay. All right.
No.
And my time is valuable.
So see this elaborate equipment you're sitting in front of here? Who paid for that?
You did, sir.
Yeah, and would I tell you how much it cost? No, I wouldn't. And how do we get the money back for that? I'm still paying it off. And if I was
If you didn't open your mouth, you would have paid for it easily or didn't resign. You would have paid for it very easily.
Didn't resign.
From Channel 9.
No, not at all. That had nothing to do with it.
Yes, but you ceased being paid as soon as you resigned.
Who said that?
Well, I'm assuming.
Are you, Don?
Oh, so you're still getting paid.
No, I didn't say that either. I said
you're
making
you
arbitrary statements based on a false premise, which is what you do a hell of a lot.
You're complaining about the cost of the equipment. I said you would have covered it by your salary from Channel 9, but you resigned. But you said you are still getting paid from Channel 9.
I didn't say any of that.
Because I feel guilty for the money that you're outlaid for this equipment.
Oh, do you? Well, that's been really weighing on your mind. You stump up here every week with no content, no input. You have nothing to say. You don't introduce anything. You just sit here and interrupt me and you feel guilty. Now, Don, listen, I'm going to cover a couple of things from last week. Mr. Choll, who they grabbed his ass. Could you believe, I didn't realise this, a bloke called Hugh Rimmington on 9. 10. Well, I was one out. He asked Damien Hardwick, did he think it was racist that the boys grabbed Daniel Choll on the... What question? Where would you get that question from if that is not trying to posture yourself to be a politically correct agent of stupidity? Why would you say is it racist to grab Mr. Choll, who's a black man, on the ass in a group setting when they were singing the song. Who would think to say that, and why would you say it if you're not trying to virtue signal how enlightened you are?
Do you know who the blame is for that? Where the blame goes? It's Channel 7 and the AFL. The AFL wanting more money. Channel 7 trying to vindicate if we're going to pay this, we want access to this.
Well, that's fair enough.
Now, some places are sacrosanct, and the change rooms are sacrosanct. And I don't believe that the coaches and players should be doing interviews as they're walking off the ground at quarter time and before the game.
The song was for the camera, though, Don. Sorry. The song, it was in the song, right? It'd be different if, say, for instance, they're walking around getting ready it's the song where everybody knows the song is on camera.
Yep.
So no, I don't think Seven's really got
Far be it from us to defend. I agree with that, Don. The fans love to see
find it really hard that the coach can be unemotive. He should be wound up just like the players, and the players are unemotive, very rational and
like
whatever else. Between quarters, I just don't think they're all tuned into what football's about.
Let's just do the song after. I agree with the podcast Rod here. I agree that the fans love to see their side singing the song, the anthem, the club theme song in a communal setting, and the cameras should be in there to do it. And if, by some chance, the naive people who think they're not on camera are grabbing each other on the crotch or the arse, if that is part of singing the song and the revelry of merriment, so be it. How could you take offence at that by anyone saying, oh, he grabbed him on the dick, or this is he what? Well, he grabbed him on the crotch, just grabbing him on the lunch. Down there, Don, on the two steak and two veg, and putting a hand on a black man's bum. How could you say that's possibly racist? And I agree.
Hugh Remington hasn't played football, has he?
Well, it's not the point whether he's played or not. How could you bring race into that? But soon they'll be having the cameras go into the showers, Don, and filming the lads having showers and urinating on one another. They do that all the time. Don.
I wasn't going to bring all that up.
People have been urinating on each other in the showers for years. Years. And then our great friend.
Is that all they do under the showers?
And our great friend Sue O'Brien.
Is that all they do under the showers is urinate on one?
I don't think they do a Depster or Amanda Heard. What's her name? Amelia
Heard.
Amber Heard. I don't think they leave a Henry there or a steamer. Now, Don, and our great friend Sue O'Brien, God love her, she said you wouldn't find women actually grabbing people on the arse in the change rooms. Well, couldn't have. The words hadn't stopped coming out of her mouth when the picture Georgie Parker's tweet photo is her with someone with a hand on one of the girls' arses during the national anthem in the hockey. Couldn't have come out, you couldn't believe that people could be so naive and stupid as to say that, and when there's pictorial evidence of it actually happening. Could you? Don.
I'm just thinking about it all.
So here's the hypocrisy of the papers. We're always on about sexism and how you can't have grid girls at the Grand Prix because we're exploiting women's aesthetic appearance. And yet, in the paper this week, the Herald Sun, it had the Wags, the Magnificent Wags. It was a whole article and a cavalcade of women dressed magnificently and showing off their figures and their style and their aesthetic appeal, their physical presence. How hypocritical can you get? One minute you say you shouldn't exploit women, the next minute you've got them on full page spread of all the people looking as smart as they can be and...
Well,
I
rang you through the week and said, what about getting one of these wags on?
Or what about you doing it?
Oh, control freak. And find out what their story is, how long they're viable, how do they become wags, how long before they're replaced and all the rest. It's a new phenomenon.
Well,
I thought we should have one on here, actually interview a wag.
Well, Don, feel free while you're, instead of standing...
Instead of, pardon? What do you mean?
Instead of,
I get put down. Everything I suggest for this show for an interview gets put down by his lordship.
Righto, let's just go through the, just.
Well, so, I'd like a netballer.
Well, Don, instead of down there tampering around with your horses on a daily basis and touching them up, why don't you actually get on the phone and be proactive and see if you can get a netballer to come on, as opposed to leaving it to me?
What about a wag?
Well, what about a wag?
Well, I thought a wag would be good.
Well, how about putting that thought into some practice? Ring someone up. Oh, really? What are you looking at there, Don? Go on, show us.
I'm looking at Parker and Slattery. They're two hockey roos. No, they're not hockey roos, are they?
Oh, Don, does it matter? Look at what is on there. Just explain to the listener.
Oh, well, they look like they're...
There's a woman during the
national... anthem, or their arms are around each shoulder, except Parker.
Can you believe this? He's looking at a photo and you still can't explain it.
Well, you explain it.
During the national anthem, one of the girls has got their hand on another girl's ass, grabbing it. In the spirit of revelry and merriment during the anthem, and yet someone, Susie O'Brien, says, oh, you wouldn't find women doing that, what they did to Mr. Choll, racist or not. I mean, what is wrong with the world?
But why would you even publish a photograph like that?
She didn't. She had
but
it whoever on her.
Who published it?
She had it on her tweet as a. That is her livery, if you like, her emblem on her tweet, a Twitter page. She didn't publish it, but someone got.
It was funny because it was girls. You know what I mean? When she put it up a while back, but because when the blokes do it, it's different.
So here's another. So I see Mark Thompson's been in the news. And they've done a whole profile on Mark and how he went downhill and went into a decline. And Mark said, I like this. Well, I liked it because just think of how contradictory this is. He said he got onto smoking the drug pipe, which I presume had methamphetamine in. I don't know what you put in a drug pipe. Do you know, Don? Have you been on drugs lately?
Have you? What about you? Have you ever taken anything?
A drug pipe?
No. Have you ever taken anything?
Oh, taken.
What?
Taken the lot, Don.
Like what?
Everything.
Name it. Marijuana?
Marijuana, coke, acid.
What do you do with acid? What do you do with acid?
You put it in your car battery. Now, Don, listen. Listen to me. Mark Thompson is quoted as saying, he got onto the drug pipe, listen to this, to relieve the pain of a broken life. Do you reckon smoking the drug pipe might have caused you to have a broken life? Because apparently you get pretty depressed after you come down off drugs, or do you? Well, I have in the past. I've been very depressed.
What, and for how long?
Oh, most of my life.
So how did you get your act together?
Just disciplined on and just strength of mind and character. So he might say that his broken life was because of the drug saga at Essendon. I'm not sure because I remember speaking to Mark. Did I speak to Mark or I spoke to James Hurd, one of them, and they said that they asked Stephen Dank to go as far as they could on the cutting edge of getting some supplements that made them perform better, but do not, under any circumstances, break the law. And now I remember them. So I don't know why they've gone into their shell over it. People like Carolyn Wilson, who ripped that club apart with no evidence at all that they'd done anything wrong at all, single-handedly destroyed most of those people's reputations. Not single-handedly, but had a hell of a lot to do with it.
Bruce Reid, the doctor, was also accused, wasn't he? He was going to take a lot of them to court, and I think it was settled. Was it settled outside?
I don't know. It never went
that far. So just let me finish. That would have been very interesting had it have gone to court, because he would have subpoenaed a lot of different people who would have had to have told the truth to clear himself.
Yes.
Yes, and that's why they settled. So in other words, there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered.
May I, Don? As I understand it, Bruce Reid wasn't
Dr. Bruce Reid. Dr. Bruce Reid.
Yes, Dr. Bruce Reid. Bruce wasn't a part of the drug supplement scheme.
That's right.
Not because he said it was illegal, just because he didn't think it was a good look to take people off-site down to a clinic and inject them with supplements.
And I don't think he was part of it. He was excluded.
Yes, because he said he wasn't comfortable with it because he was old school.
He was very lucky he wrote an email to the board vindicating his position and his concern with what was happening at the club at the time.
So moving on with the football, this week I think is meant to be Indigenous Round, which is probably a very good thing to do, Don, you know, because we're not into racism, are we, Don?
No, we're not. Why would you ask me the question?
Well, it wasn't a trick question. I was just saying Indigenous Round is a good thing if it can show that we're not into racism. But how well are the AFL going? Would they have their head up their collective backsides?
Why?
They wanted to show the Aboriginal flag, the Indigenous flag, you know, the one that's synonymous with Indigenous people. But some opportunists from a company called WAM have registered the flag. What? Well, we've called them just to see if they'd come on the podcast, but they didn't call us back. And so now they can't use the Aboriginal flag or the colours, the Indigenous colours, during the round because these people have registered the colours. These opportunists have a company called WAM.
Could I ask you a question on this?
Mm-hmm.
Lance Franklin, Buddy Franklin,
yes.
Was making T-shirts.
Yes.
Is this related to that?
Yes.
That he had something to do with his label, which
yes.
was
he
the
wanted,
Aboriginal flag.
And these people these people said, who've registered the colours,
right.
registered the flag, said, no, you are breaching licensing agreements. You cannot do it. So Franklin, as I understand it,
Lance Franklin.
Well, when I said Franklin.
I don't like the surname being used.
You don't like his surname being used?
No, so Buddy or Lance. Go on.
Scott. Go. Great Scott. Franklin then went to these people and said he will pay to use the colours and then was ripped a new one by Aboriginal activists who said, why are we paying these people to use our colours? So he couldn't win.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes, he couldn't win. He tried to do the right thing by saying he'd like to put the colours on his clothing label and then was criticised by people for saying, why would you be paying them? He said, well, if that's the only way I can get the colours on my clothing, I will pay them. But he was still criticised for that. So they have... So the company that... Now, be very careful about... Because this was written. This is in the... this is stated. So I'm not saying this, but it says... So these people who have registered the colours from a company called Barimbi Art, they were up before the Australian Securities Commission because the Barimbi Art was accused and I think fined for selling fake Aboriginal art. Now, I'm not saying that. If anyone is listening to this, this was well documented in this was an official document that was released. So my point is the AFL, wouldn't you reckon the AFL would actually know what they're doing before they just go
I would just assume that nobody would take advantage of a situation
Do you think
the Australian flag's copyrighted?
The Australian flag.
Oh. You know, the cross and the stars.
The
Union Jack.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's not the Union Jack.
The Australian flag with the Southern Cross on it, yes.
Well,
I would think that the government have probably...
copyrighted it?
Well, I presume. I don't think anyone can...
I don't think the AFL would...
They don't put the Australian flag on. The Australian flag is emblem of our nation.
Understand, but is it copyrighted? It is the flag, the Aboriginal flag is their flag of their nation too.
I don't think
you can blame the AFL. What's it? Well, they're just party. Do you blame Lance Franklin?
Hang on, just a minute. You say you don't blame the AFL, wouldn't you think that their not integrity department, what is it? Yeah, commercial is a due diligence, wouldn't you? Due diligence, wouldn't you think that they would investigate whether you can paint the Aboriginal flag?
No,
the
I wouldn't.
Well, they've overlooked it and they've been, it's been caught.
But this flag's been around for ages. When did Wham or whatever this... hang on, Woo. I know it's been around for a number of years now. Now, when was the copyright taken out on it?
2018.
Right, but it was used prior to 2018. Yes, and and as you said, they are opportunists.
That's right. Why would it take two people called... I'll just tell you their names. Ben Wooster... and Sunil Moore and Ben Wooster, why would those two blokes be able to thwart anyone from using the colours? Why wouldn't the AFL have made sure that they could use the colours long before Mr. Wooster and Mr.
But
Moore?
But you could use the colours. Anyone could use the colours prior to 2018. So you naturally assume that it would just follow on.
That's my point, Don. Don't assume anything, mate.
Oh,
make
Johnny,
sure.
Come on.
When you weren't here when we first started doing this with another man called the Beast. The first episode we ever did this 2 years ago, I said, you know what the world is full of in every department? And I'm not saying these people are. I'm just saying generally it is corrupt.
I agree.
People are dishonest and people take advantage. I'm not saying this about these people because they quite legitimately went and registered the colours, Mr. Wooster and Mr. Moore, in 2018. Wouldn't you think the AFL might have done some due diligence and wonder if we can just put these colours on just willy-nilly? And they've found that they can't. And here's my solution, Don. And I'm going to put this out on the public domain. I'm going to get a football jumper and I'm going to get put in on a black background with white writing. Say no to racism, and put it on a jumper and present it to an authority and saying, why don't you just stop all this nonsense and put it on every jumper that AFL players wear? Not in any particular colour, just in black background with white writing. Say no to racism. And that covers off all the nonsense that we go on with about associating ourselves with Black Lives Matter, kneeling before the game. Just put it on there, and it is a subliminal thing that's on every jumper, and then we don't have to align ourselves with anything. It is out there on a constant basis for everyone to see. I don't know why someone...
Just aside from all of that, the black, yellow and red colours were St Kilda's colours originally.
And they were. And do you know why they changed them?
Because of, I think, was it the Kaiser's colours?
Yes, because of the war. Because of their German...
And they changed to red, white. Well, they just put white in it instead of yellow.
That's right, because they're the German colours of the German flag. And in the war, when Hitler was up and about, they changed them.
That's right.
Very well done, Don.
Just talking about strips, can I just talk about strips? Because I watched the football, a bit of it on the weekend, and I saw Hawthorn, the team that I played for, with their mustard pot. Now, the Hawthorn back in the early... Just listen to me what I'm saying. Back in the early 50s...
What's a mustard pot?
This is what they were called, because that back in the early 50s, they wore a gold jumper with a brown V. And if you watch the football on Saturday, they resurrected that Guernsey... And they were called the mustard pots. Prior to that, they were called the fuchsias. And it was Cazale who named them the Hawks, who was a coach back in the early 50s. And it irritates me, we're talking about colours and whatever else, tradition. Now, why doesn't Hawthorn just stick to its brown and gold? Carlton, we are the navy blue, says their theme. And I see them with a white jumper with a navy blue insignia. In fact, they've just reversed the jump around. Why can't the clubs just play in their normal strip?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Don. They bastardise the colours. People love to see their traditional colours without all this, but it's marketing. Now, I'm not going to mention the name of this for obvious reasons, but that's the Essendon Football Club.
Don't say the last word.
I won't say it. I'm not that stupid. The Essendon Football Club were known the black jumper with the red stripe down it were known as that, Don?
I don't think they were.
I'm telling you, they were.
I thought they were the blood-stained angels.
Don, can I...
I'm not going to say it, but that's what
Don, I'm telling you, that is a fact. I will demonstrate that's a fact by showing you that in writing, that side was called the Bloods.
Okay, righto.
I'm not going to mention it, please, man. I'm just saying that's what they were known as, the Bloodstained, another word.
Just say the N-word so that people know what you're talking about, but don't say it. You know what I mean?
No.
It was the Bloodstained.
Yeah,
N-word.
Righto.
Bloodstained.
Yeah, no. I thought it was Bloodstained Angels.
Don, don't keep just saying no. That is, they was called that. I'm not going to mention the name, but that's what they were called. And thankfully...
Officially, you mean as in officially or just as in a nickname?
Allow me to get it up on the... allow me to show you
that. Okay, well, you show us. Anyway.
Right, so Donald.
Whilst we're on football, grand final... Holiday, which is just a joke. And it was a election promise by Daniel Andrews. I do not understand why this country or state has a holiday prior to the grand final. It puts penalty rates, everybody closes down. Penalty rates come into play. If you're in a hospitality, you've got to pay double because of a holiday. It is a joke. Yes. And is it going to be a public holiday this year in Victoria?
Try and rip that off people after they've said you can have a holiday for grand final week. Oh, don't you worry, it'll be a holiday, mate, no matter where the grand final's played.
No wonder this country's going downhill at a million miles an hour. We're a very decadent society.
At a million miles an hour. So here's just moving right along, Donald. Do you remember a bloke called Chilla Porter?
Oh, I've got it down.
Go ahead, Don. What were you going to say about him?
Okay, Chilla Porter came from Queensland. As a 20-year-old, I was into high jumps.
Mention who he is, please.
Just let me finish. As a 20-year-old, he represented Australia in the high jump at the Melbourne Olympics. And in that Olympic game, that contest, Johnny, it went right through the afternoon into the early hours of the evening. It was getting very dark.
I was there.
I was there. Okay, right. Well, you know,
I was 11.
Well, you are very lucky because he was having a battle with an American called Charlie Dumas. And unfortunately for Chilla Porter, he came second. Charlie Dumas won the gold medal and Chilla Porter second.
And unfortunately for Chilla Porter, he's dead.
And that's what I said. He passed away on the weekend.
That's correct.
Chilla Porter also represented Australia at the Commonwealth Games in, I think, Cardiff in 1958.
Yes.
And he came second again to a fellow from Jamaica, I think. And then in 62 in Perth, the Commonwealth Games.
Jamaica?
No.
Or did he do it of his own free will? That's Jamaica. Did Jamaica. And now, Don.
Now, hang on. Let me finish. You have your say. We'll just talk about Chilla Porter, and I'll go on a little bit further.
Now, don't
and
go
he was
on
beaten
too much.
By Percy Hobson. Do you know, realise he was beaten by Percy Hobson in Perth? And do you know where Percy Hobson came from? And it may be...
Perth.
No, Burke.
Oh, Burke.
Burke. And he trained himself, an Aboriginal athlete, and maybe the first Aboriginal athlete, I'd stand to be corrected, who won a medal, an international medal, like the Commonwealth Games or Olympic Games.
Okay.
But he trained himself from Burke. Now, can I go on a little bit further?
No, I want to ask you a question first about
Chilla
Porter.
I want to go on a little bit further because then it took me back to my school days.
God.
Because Blackburn High School was founded in 1956. And so I went back onto the website. I thought, I wonder if they've still got the houses that we had back in those days, because all our houses were named after Olympians, Australian Olympians of 56. Chilla Porter, there was Cuthbert, Betty Cuthbert, there was Strickland, Shirley Strickland.
Yes.
And I was in Landy, John Landy.
Crap.
No, Lorraine Crapp or Diane Fraser. They were the teams. They were the houses. So I got on, I just thought about tradition. I thought, I wonder whether they've still got the houses.
Oppie?
No. And you know what they've got now? They've changed it.
Oh, what?
To be more relevant. What about tradition? We talked about the jumpers. They've got Freeman.
Yeah, good. I like that.
Hollows.
Catherine.
Hollows.
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 Is that Fred?
They've got Melba.
Fred Hollows?
And they've got Dunlop. Now, what relationship? No, just hold on. What relationship has that got, those people got with 1956 when Blackburn High School was opened? Nothing. There was a tradition. They've changed the school blazer, which used to be a green blazer, but at least they've kept the badge and the stylized pine tree with Ad Lucem Crest Gimmus. But tradition has just gone out the door, hasn't
it? Look, I take your point, Don. I don't know why you'd change the house names, but if you're going to change them to anything, Fred Hollows, Great Australian, Weary Dunlop, probably the greatest Australian you could...
I'm not questioning. No, I know you're not. I'm not questioning that, but why change something that was there? Blackburn High School had Porter, Landy, Cuthbert, and Strickland as houses.
Yeah, why take Captain Cook's head off a statue just because he landed in Botany Bay or wherever he landed in 17?
And talking about Chilla Porter, his son Christian is the Attorney General for the federal government.
So,
and he was also a parliamentarian himself. Chilla Porter,
smart ass.
Queensland.
So let me ask
under
you this.
Bjorky Peterson.
So Charles Dumas.
Beg your pardon?
Charles Dumas, or Dumas.
Yeah, D-U-M-A-S.
The Age wrote it up. You reckon they could get his name right? They called him Dundas.
No.
It was in the paper yesterday. They said Chilla Porter, who died yesterday or whenever, had a memorable jump off with Charles Dundas from the United States. You reckon he could get his name right, wouldn't you, the Age?
As an 11-year-old, you said you went to the Olympics.
Yes.
Were you aware of the significance of it back then?
Yes, I went with my dear old dad.
I understand, but as an 11-year-old, did you realise the significance of what you were seeing?
Well, why would I have gone if I didn't realise it?
Because you're a bloody 11-year-old and you were a kid.
11-year-old, I was walking at that stage, Don, and I could speak, and I could tell you all the winners of all the events.
What about Heck Hogan? How did he get on the 100-metre sprint?
Exactly. Now listen to me, Don.
What Bobby Murray won that sprint.
Yes, and he won the 200.
That's right.
And the 400 relay. Mm-hmm. And Parry O'Brien won the shot put.
That's right.
Yeah, I know
Vladimir
it's right.
Vladimir Kutz.
Kutz, my father. My father was an unemotional man. Vladimir Kutz won the 3,000 and the five.
And the five?
Yes, that's another one of those things I get halfway through and you say, I know. Let me finish, Don. He won the 3,000 and the 5,000. And when he finished the 5,000 metres, he just ran through the tape and he kept running to do a lap of honour in the same speed. And my father...
But he was surging. He was surging. He killed off, was it Gordon Pirie and
Were
Chris
you there?
Basher? No, but no, it was
well,
on
was
television.
No, what?
Well, you would have realised what he was doing. He was surging, breaking the hearts of the two English runners.
And when he finished, when he ran across the tape at the end of the 5,000, he just kept running to do a lap of honour. And my father, for the first time, he stood up and applauded him the whole way round like the whole crowd did. Now, Don.
What, your father was an emotive man?
Not an emotive man, no.
He didn't show his feelings?
He showed them, but he wasn't that emotive. Who lit the torch?
Ron Clark. He burnt his hand when he did it.
And how? And here's
do you know where that? Do you know where that torch was housed? Oh. At the Melbourne City Council, in their archival room.
Right,
archival. That big torch. Remember Ron Clark standing up there and putting his hand.
I have a torch from the 2000 Olympics. I was one of the torch bearers. Ran it through Geelong. Have you got a torch?
No, that's just a replica thing. That's just a replica.
Of course,
the real thing was. I don't know if it's still in the archival room at the Melbourne City Council.
Of course, it's a replica.
It's at the MCG now.
Is it?
Yep.
Now, Don, I want to ask you this. So Charles Dundas, as the as the Age called him, how high did he jump?
I would say 203 metres, which is what's that, about 6 foot seven?
Well, a rocket rod here is going to... He's
going to convert it?
He jumped 2.12 metres.
2.12.
Which I think is 7 foot...
No, two. No, it'd be 6 foot, wouldn't it?
I think it's 7 foot, but he did the straddle.
Yes, the straddle. I thought the 7 foot was the Russian. He was the first to go over.
No, we're just 212. Now, the reason I ask this is, do you know what the world record for the high jump is?
Now?
Yes. And it's been...
About 8 foot four?
8 foot one. 6 foot nine and a half.
Well, there you
are. Well done. So the world record now by a bloke from Cuba called Sotomayor. Not Sotomayor. Freudian slip, not Sotomayor, Solomayor, Xavier Solomaya. He jumped 245, which is 8 feet and quarter of an inch in 1993. It's the longest established record. Now, when you get home, if you're listening to this, measure 8 foot and a quarter of an inch on your wall and wonder how any human being could jump over that height. It is extraordinary.
Do you know the high jump in Australia for a horse? Do you know what the record
horse?
For a horse is?
Oh, no.
8 foot five and a quarter.
Is it, Don?
A horse would jump that high.
Is that someone on its back or just on...
Somebody on its back, and they used to be the feature event. The long jump over water and also the high jump.
The horse. Imagine if someone wasn't on its back.
Well, it wouldn't jump the fence, but because the man directed it to the fence, it went over. But yes, I think it was called Golden Mead, the horse.
All right.
8 foot five.
Now, here's an interesting thing about animals, Don. Now, here's an interesting thing about animals. Did you know? Now, the reason I'm asking this, if a dog attacks you, if you are attacked by a dog, it doesn't matter what sort of dog, do you know what pacifies it quicker than anything if you're capable of doing it?
Now, you think. Water?
No, if you're attacked by a dog, you wouldn't have a bucket of water, would you? Oh. Now, please don't think I'm being salacious or deliberately grubby, but the method of pacifying a dog if it attacks you, if you can get one of your arms free from its jaws, is stick your finger up its ass.
Oh, please.
Now, Don! Stick your finger up its rectum.
That's if it's got lockjaw on you. Not it doesn't Don, stop it from attacking you.
It no. If once it's attacked you, that makes
do
it.
You
go...
Do you think you'd be that composed with a dog ripping you to buggery that you could sit there and say, "Where is Don, its ass? I'm going to stick it Don, up. It's ripping the shit out of
Don,
you."
Don, I'm. Come on.
No, have you ever been attacked by a dog?
Hey, Don. What? Did you know Sam's never had a dog? That's why he's got no empathy.
He's got a cat.
No, that's what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to tell a story, Don, Sam, about your cat. Tell
Don,
us the cat.
No, just a
the
minute.
Bloody
mate.
Cat used to be down at that place you lived on, Brighton or something.
Yeah, and what happened to it, Sam?
Bloody cat.
If I could finish the dog story. You think I'm making this up. It is a known fact that if you're attacked by a dog and you've got the presence of mind to try and stop it ripping your throat out, if you can suddenly, with the free arm that's not in its jaws, reach around and put your finger up its anus, that makes it...
Yeah, good.
That relaxes it quicker than anything, Don. Now, what I want to know is, who discovered that sticking your finger up a dog's ass would make it go into a passive state? I want to know who was the first person that discovered that. A bit like, who was the first person that saw an oyster and opened it and thought, shit, I'd like to eat that. Looks like just a bucket of snot, an oyster. Who decided that I'll eat an oyster? Because that'll be a delicacy, as opposed to who puts a finger up a dog's ass. Now,
tell us about your cat.
So this is
this cat.
So just a minute,
come on, that
just
bloody cat.
Just a minute, Donald.
I was going to say something.
So this is animals and wildlife and nature intrigue people, and you can get misled about the language. These people were on the Spirit of Tasmania, husband and wife team. And they looked over the side of the Spirit of Tasmania and they noticed a huge great white down in the water swimming alongside the boat. And the woman said, look at that, she said. If I fell overboard, would that shark swallow me whole? And her husband said, no, he'd spit that out. And I thought, he's probably misunderstood what the woman was asking him. And you can see how the language can confuse people at various stages. Would he swallow my whole? No, he'd spit that out. Probably, he said. And that was the end of the marriage. Now, Don.
You know who I'm saying?
No, I'm going to ask you two other questions.
You know what's going to happen about this?
What?
I can imagine a fellow called Glenn Lovett who listens to this podcast in New York as he's walking around Central Park.
We're going to speak to someone... from New York.
Well, I was told he's an avid listener. He played for Melbourne, number six. He'd be pissing himself.
Well, we'll mention this to our guest. We won't say who we're speaking to. We're speaking to a very, very famous expat Australian in the next in this podcast too. And we'll ask him about Glenn Lovett. People will be fascinated by this man because he's a star and he comes from Cobram. Now, Don, here's a question. This is... who. What are the only two egg-laying mammals in the world?
Platypus.
Yes. Both Australian. Well, I think I don't know if this second one is peculiar. Is
what an echidna?
Yes,
really,
an echidna. An echidna and a platypus. I don't know if an echidna is exclusively
really?
Australian.
Echidna.
They're the only two egg-laying mammals in the world. Isn't that extraordinary? And here's another thing about. Listen to this. They have found in Cape Town. I'm not making this up. They found in Cape Town. If they paint an eye, you know, the eye you look through, eye on the rump of cattle, that lions won't attack them.
Really?
Because they think they're looking at them if they come up from behind them. They think, no, we won't attack that because it's seen us coming. They've done a study in Cape, you think I'm making that up? They've done a study on it. That's true, Don.
I don't know whether you're having a lend. Having a lend, do you?
I'm not having, why would I make that up? If you paint an eye, the picture of an eye on the rump of cattle, that stops lion attacks, because the lions will only attack animals that they don't think either running from them or don't see them coming. But if they think that there's something looking at them, they won't attack them. Did you know that? That's like these two blokes. That's theoried on. There's two blokes in the jungle, and there was a lion came out of a clearing, and the bloke stopped and got out of his backpack and put his running shoes on. And he said, we'll never outrun that lion. He said, what are you putting your running shoes on for? He said, I have to outrun the lion. He said, if I can outrun him, he'll grab you.
No, I don't have to outrun the lion. I only have to outrun you.
That's it.
Yeah. But how does that work, though, when you look at the lion in the jungle? Is he not going to go you?
Absolutely. So you will notice that the prey animals, not the animals that lions prey on, have their eyes on the side of their head, so they can look back.
Yeah, well, they can look every way.
And the ones that are doing the attacking have their eyes on the front of their head because they don't have to look back. It's amazing, isn't it? So this COVID-19 stuff has really turned people are depressed. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, depression. The other thing that came up about that's depression. Yeah, I agree. But what about addicts? How are they getting on with regard to, whether it be alcohol or drugs?
Well,
what are they doing? I know. Well, bottle shops are still open, aren't
they? Yeah, that's how could why could bottle shops be open and golf courses not?
What about addicts? Drug addicts?
Yes. Well, they're drinking a lot more and trying to.
No, I'm being. I'm serious. Because didn't the government put out an email or a procedure or something where they suggested this is what addicts should do? And I think they've deleted some of those little suggestions on their website.
I know a friend who told me that a friend of his had got into drinking heavily, and he was drinking because he was depressed and he'd had a lot of drinks, and he got into his car and started to drive home, and the car hit an oil slick, rolled through a guardrail down an embankment onto another road down below on a service road, and the police had seen this and they weren't too impressed with the way bloke was driving the car, and they got down to the service road as the car burst into a tremendous ball of flame, and the copper dragged him out of the car as it exploded, and he had him resting up against the embankment, and he said to the bloke, have you been drinking? And he said, of course I've been drinking. Do you think I'm a fucking stuntman? Which got the copper very annoyed, and the copper put his hat on and did his tie up and took a notepad and pen out, and he said, righto, he said, I don't know who you are or who you think you are, but anything you say now will be taken down and read out in court, at which stage the bloke said, stop kissing me, officer, and fondling my nuts. And when you think about it, Don, that's a very good answer, because the copper thought, shit, I'm not reading that out in court, and they let him off. And
do you know the stupidity of all this?
What?
You had me in far. You had me. I didn't realise you were telling a joke.
So if you were pulled up and they said, I'm going to read this out in court, and you said, stop kissing me, officer, and fondling my nuts, it's probably something he wouldn't read out, would he? Because he'd think, shit, I'm not reading that out. So, Donald.
Your delivery's good.
What?
Your delivery is good.
So now listen to this. Now you think, now please don't think I'm making this up. NASA, you know who, the National Aeronautic and Space Administration, they have joined the woke society of being politically correct. They are now finding different names for, wait for this, a black hole. You know what a black hole is? Well, they say that we're not calling it a black hole anymore because it's has racist connotations. Black hole. Do you think I'm making this up, don't you? They've now renaming black holes. They're now renaming dwarf planet. Do you know what a dwarf planet is? It's a smaller planet that orbits a larger planet. Dwarf, they say that's politically incorrect. It's vertically challenged, a vertically challenged planet. Yep. The Big Bang, they say that's sizest. That's for people overweight. You know, so why are we saying they're big? The Big Bang. The Milky Way, they say that's too white. It's showing whiteness.
You've got to be. You're making all this up.
Okay, I'm going to ask Rocket Rod here. You Google this and see what NASA...
What about white line fever?
Yep. Well, that'll be the next thing that they'll change.
White line fever.
Black holes, dwarf planets, the Big Bang, the sun. The sun, they say, we'll let the sun go because it's S-U-N, not S-O-N. What?
It's Trudon. He's not lying.
Go on.
He didn't make it up.
Well,
what's the source?
No, it's everywhere. I just Googled it. I just put NASA rename, right?
Why do you think...
It says NASA to rename cosmic objects, replace racial and insensitive names on the list. What he said is true.
Do you think I make this up, Don?
Black is a colour. And so is... This is ridiculous.
So Rocket Rod here says it's ridiculous. This is where the world's headed, Donald. We are... being consumed by stupidity, that NASA could rename things because people take offence at it. These activists and these people who are on a mission to be so aggrieved that we'll give gold medals out at the Olympics to see who can be the most aggrieved and who can protest about the most ridiculous things. I don't make any of these things up except the stuntman who said, stop kissing me, officer, and following my nuts, and the woman who said, would he swallow my hole, and the bloke said, no, he'd spit that out. I made those two things up, but nothing else have I made up about this podcast, Don. Seriously. It is just... Oh. And I didn't make up about painting the eyes on the rump of cattle over in Cape Town or Johannesburg. I didn't make anything up about anything. So if you got any other things to speak about or not...
I'm just looking forward to this guest.
Well, let me tell you about one other thing, and this you won't be surprised at this. I'm not making this up. You can Google this. The state government, who are in bed with the Chinese, who own this state, they own through Belt and Road. I know you had no idea what Belt and Road is.
I know what Belt and Road is.
You do now because I told you.
No, I Googled it.
They own this state. They are funding the tunnel, which is $3 billion.
They're doing it right through the Pacific as
well. $3 billion over... budget. They are now, have you ever heard of the 5G band internet company called Huawei?
Yes.
It's a Chinese.
That's right.
Yeah. They are now installing face recognition cameras at the Melbourne airport. Huawei have been commissioned by the state government. The Chinese workers who are implementing and installing the Huawei face recognition cameras have come over.
They're not using
Australian labour. They've had Chinese people come over and install face recognition cameras at the Melbourne airport for the Chinese 5G company called Huawei, who now can recognise everyone's face and give it to the government, but also store all that information, and it goes back to China.
But now, does
anyone know this is going on?
No, well, I didn't know. You're telling me something.
Yes, and I'm not making it up, Don.
But Morrison has banned this company in the federal
My
sphere.
Very point.
Well, what's going on here in Victoria? I think England have also done something. Boris Johnson's done something.
And America have. But not here. Not here in our little state here, which is...
He worries me a little bit, Andrews.
Oh, no.
No, I just...
Really?
Well, some of these politicians, I think he's got them frightened, the fellows that are in his party. They're very frightened to say anything, and if they do say something, it's immediately retracted or they don't go on with what they said originally.
Okay, well, now I'm just going to ask you just to this. I'm not making
you
this up.
You didn't take that any further,
of
did you?
Of course I did, Don. I tell you that every week. I tell you that every week about this government here, and people just don't take any notice. They just push on. And
I went a little bit further. Do you think that they make appointments, which they do, the Labor Party, make political appointments, people who favour them go into certain positions, then it
really?
Then has an influence on our society.
Do you know what that's called?
What?
Corruption. And the whole world is based on corruption.
I'd like to know really what was the outcome. Remember when he came into power about the firefighters and the CFA? There was a hell of a lot of thing when, and it's all gone quiet, but I think the Metropolitan boys got a 10% wage rise. What happened to the CFA? What agreement did they come to there?
You know, when they say we're all in this together, the COVID virus, we're all in this together except the people who get a 10% wage rise and the politicians who get a wage rise and are still getting paid.
Well, the public servants got a 1%, didn't they?
Yeah.
It comes in next March. And are they on JobKeeper? They would have put a number of them off.
Righto, Don, as we finish, here's a couple of things, not if questions, but tell me what you think of this. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is not putting it in a salad, in a fruit salad. I'll do that again. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad.
Hit the button, please.
No.
Open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you.